It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Hey, good morning, and welcome back to Talkin' Golf on this Sunday morning. It is the season finale of the Tour Championship at East Lake Woodlands, and joining me now to talk about it is Adam Shupak, senior writer, Golf Week and USA Today, and author Dean Beeman, Golf's Driving Force. Hey, Adam, welcome to Talkin' Golf.
Yeah, good morning, Ann. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, this Tour Championship leaderboard has more subplots than, I don't know, all the drama series that I watch on Netflix. It is incredible.
Yeah, we're set up for a good final round. I mean, I think everybody wants to see Tommy Fleetwood finally get over, you know, get across the finish line and get that first win on the PGA Tour. He's won plenty on the DP World Tour, but there have been too many close calls. I'm sure you were there for Travelers back in June, and then just a few weeks ago at the FedEx St. Jude, squandered a late lead on the, you know, on the closing couple holes, and he's right back in it again, tied with Patrick Cantlay, and he hasn't won in 3 years, which is very surprising to me, and lots of great names, you know, Keegan Bradley, U.S. Ryder Cup captain, just three back, and Scotty trying to be the first to win back-to-back FedEx Cup champions, like you said. A lot of great storylines today.
And Fleetwood, boy, my heart dropped when he smacked that 6-iron into the water for that double. But then he came back and he birdied 16 and 17 yesterday to regain a share of the lead. So, I don't know, he's gone through so many close calls. It's making him stronger, and you got to be impressed by this guy. When he had all those heartbreaks, he still goes out there, signs autographs for the fans, never, you know, says no to an interview, even after such tough losses. He is just a super guy, I think, Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, everybody loves Tommy, and I mean, I think he's got the right mentality. You know, he's got it just looking at, as I got another opportunity, he's right there again, and he's getting to do what he loves to do, he said. He's in contention, and he's got a chance. What more can he ask for? I think that's a pretty good attitude to not put too much pressure on himself today. I think it's going to be a bit of a roller coaster for him, because that seems to be, you know, his mentality. And, you know, he's got, I think this is not the John Deere Classic. This is a stacked leaderboard. It's the top 30. But, man, it would be something if, like, he goes from having never won. He's won over $33 million, Ann, without a victory on the PGA Tour. And today he could win $10 million for his first victory and get two trophies. Even he's kind of in on the joke and realizes that would be pretty hilarious if he if he finally gets it done today.
Unbelievable, right? And then Patrick Cantlay, who really hasn't done much this year, right? He shoots a bogey-free 6-under-64 yesterday, birding four of the last five holes. And, you know, he's won seven times on the PGA Tour, but not for a number of years. What do you think of Patrick Cantlay's play this season?
Yeah, I love watching him play, but he other than the slow part of it.
Yeah, right.
But he's been an enigma. I mean, he's missed the cut in three of the four majors. He's kind of like our Ian Poulter with the Ryder Cup. The guy just, you know, comes through and in some really sticky situations, he's clutch in the team championships. But in the big tournaments, other than, you know, he did win the FedEx Cup before and has won some of these FedEx Cup events. But I just can't figure out why he hasn't had a better major championship record to this point. You know, I think getting the victory today would be really big for him to kind of get that monkey off his back and show that he's progressed. One big thing for him, he just added a putting coach just a few weeks ago at the start of the FedEx St. Jude. Same putting coach as Scottie Scheffler and a lot of the top players on the PGA Tour. And I think it's, you know, it's making a difference, and we're seeing it really quickly. Sometimes when you get a new coach, that's all it takes is that new set of eyes, something different, and all of a sudden he's putting much better.
That's a good point. And he is 15th on the Ryder Cup points list, Adam. If you were to guess, do you think he'll be one of the captain's picks based on, you know, his previous two Ryder Cups and his great record with Ryder Cup?
I do. I do. I think I would take him if he was 40th, kind of like Ian Poulter. Just some of the things he's done when, you know, making that big putt against Rory, even in the President's Cup just last year, the way he took down Siwoo Kim and in that great match on Saturday, that was a real turning point for the Team USA. He does special things in these matches. I don't know why he can get up for those so much better than a regular event. And he makes a great pairing with Xander Schauffele. And Xander hasn't had the best of years. So I think having those two guys together makes for a tremendous team for Team USA.
And there may or may not be a hat gate this time around at Bethpage.
Yeah.
Because that was...
Yeah, hopefully...
Go ahead.
Hopefully, in the last 2 years, they've got him fitted, and he's going to. I think he's going to wear a hat. I think Keegan's probably made sure of that.
Russell Henley just really didn't get much going yesterday. He did birdie the 18th. He's two behind. He's already on that Ryder Cup team, number what is he? Four of the top six.
Yeah.
And Keegan Bradley, unbelievable with a 63. And the eagle on the sixth hole, he's only three shots back at him.
Yeah, I think this was, you know, I think he wants to pick himself, but he's put himself in a position where at number 11, you know, you start it almost looks bad to pick yourself over other guys ahead of him. He said originally that he was going to have to be in the top six and then kind of modified that once he won at the Travelers. And the fact is the guys want him to play. I just don't know if he should be doing both jobs. Like, let's just concentrate on playing. If you're going to play, let's play. And I really would love to see Jim Furyk, Brant Snedeker take a little bit of a larger role in the kind of captain role, one of them or both of them. And then the other thing I've been kicking around, I the more I talk about it, the more I think it could happen, is I feel like Tiger, you know, this really was supposed to be his job, but he said he was too busy with everything else going on with the PGA Tour and LIV. And while nothing's really come to fruition with that in terms of getting everybody back together, you know, if he just steps in next week or so, if they talk about this on Wednesday, I could see it really happen. And I think Tiger would be a huge presence, a great thing for Team USA. And I think they need someone to do some of, you know, just during the event, Keegan's probably done a great job getting things prepared and he can be involved. But I just think if you want him to perform his best during the Ryder Cup, he probably should take a backseat to being the captain as well. He doesn't have to do the press conferences and all the other, you know, nitty gritty. Somebody's got to be out there really looking at how the guys are playing. And I think it should be Tiger. If not Tiger, maybe Jordan Spieth or Ricky Fowler come and be an extra vice captain at the last minute. I just think that, I think he needs to play. He's one of the 12 best Americans. He's 10th in the world. He was 11th in the points. And he's showing that he's still playing some really darn good golf. He could go out and win this thing today.
So you're saying that if he picks himself to play, which you think will happen, and I think he should play, you're saying he should relinquish being a captain or just be the captain but let the other guys call the shots?
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to technically relinquish it, but I think he should make it very clear that, like, these guys are – that Jim Furyk or somebody else is kind of the de facto captain, and he's going to focus primarily on playing. I think it would be best if he wasn't the captain, just relinquish it, but I don't think he's going to go that far.
Yeah, I don't think so either. He won't. I think he's going to try to do both, which, you know, obviously will draw a lot of scrutiny if he doesn't play well. But I'm going to talk a lot about that with Mark Canizero, who was actually at Bethpage earlier in the week when Keegan made an appearance real quick, in and out, right? And he gave away a bunch of Ryder Cup tickets.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk to you, since you've been at the Tour Championships this past week, the PGA Tour CEO, Brian Rolapp, he spoke and said that he wants to aggressively build on the foundation that the tour has, and they picked Tiger to head up this competition committee. So it sounds like there's going to be some major changes. What are your thoughts about what kind of changes they may do?
Yeah, I think that changes coming, that's for sure. He made that quite clear. And I think having Tiger involved is really important because Brian comes from the football world. He's not part of the golf ecosystem. It's the first time that the PGA Tour has had a leader who hasn't been ingrained in the PGA Tour and its business practices, you know, from Joe Dye to Dean Beaman to Tim Fincham and currently Jay Monahan. It's always been someone who kind of was involved in the golf space, at least, for a significant period of time. Brian doesn't have that. So I think having Tiger in this role is going to be very important to have that voice. Six players are going to be involved, making sure that it's kind of driven by the tour pros and what they feel is right. And also, you know, we got the businessmen who know what they want this to be, to grow and be a return on investment for the new PGA Tour investors. So I think there's going to be change. And the key word that came up to me was scarcity. I think Brian Rolapp thinks there are too many PGA Tour events. So I'm not saying the John Deere Classic's going away, but I think the PGA Tour will have a smaller schedule in the future, that each event will have more meaning, kind of the way the NFL, just there's only 17 weeks to the schedule, and the rest of the year we just wish it was going all the time, but it still stays in the public eye, and the fact that we don't have it makes you want to see it and sit around the TV even more. And I think that's something that Brian Rolapp is going to bring to golf.
Well, as it is now, I mean, there's so many tournaments. And next year's schedule, they have 9 signature events, which is one more than this year. And it just seems like there's so many big events. Like what, there's like 5 tournaments in 6 weeks when you talk about, you know, the Masters, the RBC Heritage, the Miami Championship, which is new, which will be at the Doral. The Truist Championship at Quail Hollow, the PGA Championship, another major. I mean, 5 big tourneys in a 6-week period.
Yeah.
So I'm sure a lot of the top players, they're not going to play all those events. It's too much.
It's a lot. But those $20 million purses and no cuts are pretty appealing. I'm really surprised that they packed that new signature event right in that section. I'm not sure if that really works. I don't think that will last very long. I think that's something they'll clear up in the future. Next year's kind of a bridge year, just the way I think the Tour Championship this year, the changes they made kind of mid-season to make this if you made the top 30, everyone had a chance, got rid of the starting strokes. I think there's going to be some more things like that that are going to be brought to the PGA Tour schedule that will feel and look different, and hopefully it will be for the better.
Okay, I have to ask you about this podcast host in Michigan, because I know Golf Week wrote about it, who got a credential from LIV to cover the LIV event, but it was revoked by LIV when apparently he asked Pat Perez, a former LIV player who is now a LIV broadcaster, about the Saudi Public Investment Fund. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's pretty absurd. I mean, journalism is under attack. We see it. I feel it myself from time to time. And I'm really appalled that they would think podcast host would take down the interview just because they asked him to, and because they didn't like a particular question. To take away his credentials so he couldn't cover the event that's not right. And I'm glad that this became an issue, and hopefully the LIV Golf, you know, they if any place needs to have people that want to cover it, come out and cover it, that tour needs to be, you know, you don't even know really what's going on, and here's somebody who's actually showing some interest and concern and giving them some coverage. I thought that was a really bad way to go about handling the situation.
And I think the host kept the podcast up. I don't think he caved. He just lost his
credential. No, I don't think he did.
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, Adam, congrats to your dad, Les Shupak, who will be honored with the Dave Anderson Spotlight Award at our Met Golf Writers Association National Awards Dinner on October 7th. I mean, incredible. Your father is a public relations executive extraordinaire. I've worked with him for many, many years. He's been working in the golf biz for as long as I can remember. So I'm very happy for your dad and for you. Really, congratulations.
Thanks, Ann. Yeah, 40-plus years of being involved in golf in the Met area. He loves the game. I always say, why do you do this? But to him, it's just a labor of love, and it's meant a ton to him, and it's you know, big, you know, he's a big reason that why I got into the game, and my biggest fan in terms of reading my stories and stuff. And I'm still waiting for him to tell me he didn't like one of them.
He is definitely your biggest fan. He is so proud of you. Hey, thanks so much, Adam. Really appreciate you taking the time, and enjoy the final round of the Tour Championship. And I'll definitely see you on October 7th at the Met Golf Writers Awards Dinner at Westchester Country Club.
That's for sure, and I'll see you at the Ryder Cup. We'll talk then.
That's right. Only a couple weeks away, right around the corner. Thanks so much, Adam Shupak. All right, coming up, we're going to connect with Mark Canizzaro of the New York Post. He was out with U.S. Ryder Cup captain Keegan Bradley last week at Bethpage, and we'll hear Mark's thoughts on all things USA Ryder Cup. But first, let me tell you that Ibicol Luxury Athleisure Wear for both men and women offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. Ibicol offers multifunctional, intelligent, moisture sensor fabrics featuring the exclusive ice field technology that cools your skin up to 5 degrees so you can stay cool, comfortable, and odor-free on hot and humid days. Use promo code AN20 for 20% off regularly priced items. www.ibkul.com.